Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. He wants us to prosper in everything, because that's what it says here, in all things. And he wants us to be in health. So, there's a good answer to those people who are keep asking, if it's your will, Lord, I haven't had a word from the Lord. Well, this is the word of the Lord. This is the will of God. This is the revealed will of God. This is the New Testament of God made out in his own blood to us. A testament is only in force after the one who has made it has died. And Jesus died and he shed his blood to make out a New Testament to us. And his will to us. I mean, there's a lot in his will for us, isn't there? Praise God. If we only could grasp the revelation of God's will for us, there is so much in the will of God for us. It's like somebody you know who's rich, who dies, and they leave in their will everything to you. And then you start reading the whole list of things that they had. They had this big estate. They had, Mercedes, Benz, Rolls Royce, loads of money in the bank. They've left you the big manor house and all the grounds and all the staff and an ongoing company and business and all the rest. All left you, and you read the list and it goes on and on and on. And then let me tell you today, the list that Jesus makes out is massive. It's all the New Testament to us. I mean, I could go on and on. He's given us power and authority that we're speaking about this morning over all the works of darkness. But we'll have to keep it condensed because we will not have enough time to go through the whole list of promises that Jesus made to us in his will and testament. But if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8... 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We're talking about abundance. We're talking about abundant grace. We're talking about God is able to make all grace abound to all you. That is his unmerited favor in blessing and provision for you. You might be saying this morning, but my barrel is running dry. I mean, it's getting low. The cruse of oil is failing. The barrel has become low. Well, that's okay. My barrel gets low as well. My cruse of oil appears to be failing at times. And I have a great need for God to supply my need. But I always find, and I look back over the years, that he keeps filling it up again. And he allows it to go down at times. Sometimes it sustains its level at the top, full. And after a while it starts to sink a little bit. Your resources start to dwindle a little bit. And sometimes it seems to sink right down. But through it all, God is faithful. Trust him, because he will not let it run completely dry. The cruse of oil, nor will he let the barrel run out where you've got nothing. And you're in a famine, because there's no food, there's no water. He will provide. He provided for Elijah by the brook Cherith. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the evening, and he drank from the brook until the brook dried up, and then he led him to a new place of resource, of supply. But here he is in this verse saying, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So God wants us to live in abundance. He wants to supply and meet all your needs. Whatever it is, all your need, that incorporates everything. Now we've got to shake ourselves out of whatever we may be feeling now and we say, well, this has been going on and on and on. I believe today God has supplied for us on an ongoing measure, over the years, but I believe today that this is a miracle word from God, which will be confirmed with signs following, and we will be able to testify of the goodness of God in the way he has provided for us. I believe that this is the beginning of something today, of miracle provision. I really believe it, and I want you to believe it. I want you to take it into your heart, and whatever you have, whatever need you have, you say, well, I've been believing this for ages and I'm getting tired of it and I keep praying. I want you today to get into gear and to say, right, I'm going to have it now. I believe you, Lord. Thank you. This is a word to me now for my situation, and you're going to meet my needs with an abundant supply. Now, if we turn to Genesis 12, 1-2, Genesis 12, 1-2. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Very brief, wasn't it? Very straightforward when God speaks. Get out of your country. There was a reason for it, though. He said, and from here, leave your father's house to a land that I will show you. But you have to take the first step and do what God says. And Abraham did what God said. And God said to him then, he said, I'll make you a great nation. If you do what I tell you, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless all those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what does that mean? And I will bless you if you do it, if you obey me. There are blessings that come with obedience. It means that we will be happy, fortunate, and to be envied because of the prosperity and blessing and abundance of God's provision in our lives and our families. That's what it means. Genesis 24, 35. Genesis 24, 35. Praise God. The Lord has blessed my master. This was Abraham's servant speaking. And he was saying this to certain people. The Lord has blessed my master Abraham greatly. So God fulfilled his promise. And from the moment God spoke, the blessing started to come. And I want you today to realize that God is speaking today, and expect a blessing on continuously, a beginning now and will continue till Jesus comes back upon your life, as you faithfully follow him, serving, and you tithe to him. You keep tithing, because this is very fundamental in being blessed by God, that you put the tithe, you put that first and foremost there. You put yourself first with your tithe on the offering of God's altar. If you want this blessing, then we must do these things. It comes through obedience. And it will come, and it will start today, and it will continue till Jesus comes back. Now, we have enjoyed the blessing of God in a measure. He's kept us going. But I want you to believe for much more today than you've ever had. I want you to believe that today is the beginning of something that's going to come and bring great blessing to your life. I'm not a fortune teller. This is the word of God. God has spoken to me. I got quickened in my spirit. I was thinking how amazing, how I can't believe, you know, after all the things I've had to fork out for, pay for, and, you know, different things. And I thought, this is amazing how God has kept blessing me through it all. And it quickened me, and it was almost like God was saying to me, well, expect more, because it's going to start in a miraculous way. And I said to the Lord, I want to see miraculous provisions through this today. I don't want this just to be a flash, but I want it to do something today. I want it to trigger off something, and I believe. And God then gave me this word. This is when I was thinking about it, when I was walking yesterday. And then when I didn't know what to read this morning from a Bible, I don't plan it. normally on Sunday mornings, but I just opened my... I said, Lord, I just don't have a clue this morning where to go in the Bible. And he just led me to these scriptures, and it was all that he was speaking to me about yesterday. So the quickening was for a purpose, because God is going to do it. And he said, the Lord has blessed my master. Now we know what blessing means. Greatly. And he has become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. What? He really did. He made him very, very rich. In every way. Not only was he rich materially, not only did he have protection because he had a great army, Abraham. He had a great name, even then. And how much greater today, the father of many nations, how that has come to pass. But God really did bless Abraham spiritually, because through the line of Abraham, the seed came, Christ, and from him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. From your ancestral line will come the promise, the seed, Christ, which we're blessing to all nations. Those who receive the seed, Christ, receive the blessings of Abraham in their life through faith. So it's faith. And so what I'm talking to you about today, you must believe it. Galatians 3:13-14. Galatians 3:13-14. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, praise God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessing of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles, to those who will believe in Christ and are justified by faith and receive the promise of the Spirit. And what a blessing it is. God promises to give all believers the blessing of Abraham. Jesus became a curse for us so that we might receive the blessings of Abraham. The Lord wants us to prosper spiritually, emotionally, physically, and materially. These are the blessings of Abraham. We should expect them. I've got no time for people. Look, I have to fight sickness at times, and I have to fight poverty at times. You know what I'm talking about, when the barrel gets low and the cruise of oil is almost failing. And we have to fight, you know, oppression at times and everything else. But does that stop us believing in the blessing of God upon our lives? No, this is where faith kicks into gear. And we have to believe God that he means what he says. Do we throw faith out just because the circumstances are adverse to us in our finances, in our spiritual and emotional areas of life? Or because we're having to fight off some sickness and what we do in the end, we're so tired of fighting, it's much easier to say, well, I'll try and get a word of God for it. Look, it's an insult to God when God has already made the word of God out to us in his new will and testament. And he said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may be prosper and be in good health. So I want to take the word of God to heart, not the word of man saying, if it's your will. It's a faith-destroying phrase, and we shouldn't believe it. We know what the will of God is for sickness. Himself, he took our infirmities in his body on the tree, not just our sins, but our sicknesses. And just as Jesus died for our sins in his atoning work on the cross, so he did for our sicknesses. It was not a side issue. It's a continuing cleansing from sin, a provision from God, a continuing healing power of Jesus Christ. If we will believe, if we will fight the good fight of faith and believe God for financial provision, believe God for protection, believe God for healing, believe it. Just because something comes upon you, getting weak and tired, you give up. No. Many people have fought against sickness, have won the victory. Some have died. I don't know all the answers, but the fact is, if we're all believing, we've got power with God and man, and we can destroy the works of the devil, because he's given us power and authority over all demon power and all the works of the devil, and I believe sickness is of the devil and sin. It is. It came from the curse. And Christ has redeemed us. Let's read it again. From the curse of the law. Through his blood, he's brought us out from that curse. We're not under that curse of sickness now and poverty and shame and defeat. He's redeemed us. Redemption is a price that's paid in the Old Testament. He used money for redemption. But now God has used the blood of his own son to redeem us, to buy us back out of slavery. He's done a perfect job of setting us free. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do it? By becoming a curse for us on the cross. And he did it so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, through faith, through faith. If we're negative, when we keep saying, well, I've got to seek the will of God, I'm not sure whether I can believe God for me. That's not faith. That's unbelief. Look, it's the whole gospel. It covers every area of your life. If you just want to believe the gospel for salvation like the brethren do, that's all you'll get. But if you want to believe it as the Bible teaches it, it's a full gospel for every area, financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically and materially. Look to God to meet your need. Don't get weak and weary and run down and think it's never going to happen. I believe God is saying to us today, look, listen, I'm going to give you a word in a minute. There's a time for everything. The blessings are ours, but we must believe it and claim this as our inherent right. The fact is, God wants you to prosper. My beloved, I pray that you may be in health and prosper. Let's start believing for these blessings for our lives and families now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just turn to Ecclesiastes. I want to finish with this. I wondered why God gave it me the other day. It was sticking out to me so clearly. You know, I often read the Bible and nothing sticks out to me. I just read and study it. And then when I'm just about to minister, God starts to quicken scriptures to me. That's the way it happens. And I love it when that happens. Praise the Lord. So I don't go by my feelings. I just trust in, when I'm reading the Bible, that I'm doing what God wants me to do and he's going to bless me for it. But if we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm just going to read something to you now. And maybe we're going to learn something from this. And I don't know what it is yet till I read it, until I get some kind of revelation on it. But I believe it's the right thing to do. And it's connected with this word that are given us to us now. And I believe it could be just one word. Timing. 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 To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And I believe that God was saying to me this, that this is my time. There's a timing. There's always, you know, God has a timing for everything. We have had to wait. But I believe that we should start believing. You know, now this is time. It's time. Let's believe it. Let's just pray. Just water the seed in us and root it in us in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Amen, Lord.